The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, taping this on a Tuesday afternoon. It's running Wednesday. My guest and I will be in the air flying to Orlando for the All-Star Game. We're going to talk to legends and stuff. Apparently there's legends that go to the All-Star Game. But now he's the reality czar, and we're going to talk reality. If you don't like reality TV, you're probably not going to like this podcast. We don't care. Dave Jacoby, what's happening?
If you like reality TV, you might not like this podcast either, let's be honest.
No, you'll like the podcast probably. If you like reality TV.
Probably.
Bachelor. So we got Bachelor going on. We got Jersey Shore. We got The Challenge.
Yeah.
And we have
America's fifth professional sport.
America's fifth sport. And then finally, one more. Jersey Shore, Survivor. Okay.
Survivor.
Let's start with The Bachelor.
All right.
We're down to three. One of the three is divorced. It's the furthest a divorced woman has ever gone. I feel like this should be a bigger story.
Yeah, she's like the Jeremy Lin of The Bachelor.
She really is.
No one's picking up on this at all.
First of all,
you seem stunned. You had a lot
I
of
am.
Words.
I'm stunned.
You all right, buddy?
Because usually you get to – I could see them getting the hometown date. It's almost like when George Mason made the Final Four.
Yeah.
But then you meet the parents and they have the heart-to-heart with the dad. And the dad's like, when I blame myself for the first marriage and what happened there. And at that point, the bachelor's like, you know what? I'm going to go with one of the ones who's not married.
Yeah. And then he's like – she's like, I want to – take you up to my room. The home visits are always weird. Then she brings him up.
Always weird.
Brings him up to her room, and she's got probably 20 to 30 pillows on her bed, which is a red flag right there. I don't like over-pillowing beds. That's a big problem of mine.
It's a bad
Too thing. Many pillows on the bed.
And then
she does what every bachelorette feels they need to do during this episode is profess the love of the bachelor.
Well, because it's a big thing. You have to open up to the bachelor.
Yeah,
because
open for love.
Because that way, then, when he sends you home, you really cry in the limo because you've opened up at that point.
Yeah.
I have a lot of comments about the hometown date. First of all, because now that my daughter is 6 and a half and about 15 years away from being on the show.
12 years from The Bachelor, yeah.
Yeah. So I try to put myself in the position of the dads, which is something I do often. But so let's say I have this guy come to my house, and there's a camera crew with him.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions about this. Before we even start, why? What do they stand to gain by allowing this production in their house?
Well, I think you have to sign off on it when you agree to be in The Bachelor.
Okay,
I think there's a checklist of 40 things, and it's like, do you have an STD? No. Are your parents willing to have us film when there's four left? Yes. Like, it's on the checklist.
Yes.
So this guy comes in the camera crew, and he wants to potentially marry my daughter, and the questions are always like, so what's your connection like with my daughter? You know, I would be asking like, so what are the other girls like?
Yeah.
What do they look like?
Can I have your tax return from the past 4 years, please?
I wouldn't even get to that. I'd be like, so who'd you pick? So Courtney's a model? How old is she? 28? Interesting. Why did a model make the Final Four?
What's your connection with her like?
Yeah, you flip it around on him, yes. And now he's in a position to be like, well, I don't really like her. She's just kind of hot. So it's all a looks thing with Courtney.
Yeah.
You just go through and you just basically like, I would break the guy down and I would want him to leave saying, I can't marry that girl. Her dad will make my life miserable.
Yeah, and
that would be my goal.
Another thing that he ends up doing, he always sort of like tacitly asks permission to get engaged, but he's always like, well, you know what, we've got a really strong connection. I think that what we could build on is a really beautiful relationship moving forward. And like, basically the subtext is...
Flip this around. Pretend I'm the dad and you're the bachelor and go through that whole charade with me.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Simmons.
It's nice to meet you, Dave.
I'm just really glad that you opened up that your home to us. I feel really comfortable here. I feel like I've got a strong connection. I could really just fit in with you guys.
Dave, I have some questions for you.
Sure.
So are you really going to propose to my daughter at the end of this?
Me and your daughter have a very strong connection. And this process has been crazy for me, and it's been crazy for both of us. But I just really, really, really appreciate spending time with your daughter.
Dave, it just seems a little weird to me from my end that you're dating all these women and you're narrowing them down and voting them off, and then there's two left and you let one go, and then you pick my daughter, and then you immediately want to get married to her. This is a show where 19 out of the last 21 people haven't ended up getting married. Don't you feel like this is a little weird?
Well, Mr. Simmons, with all due respect, I may or may not pick your daughter. I mean, there's probably...
Well, then why are you
there's
here?
Probably like a 25% chance that I pick her. And you know what? She's also kind of crazy.
Well, I know. That's, we tried to talk around being on the show. How about this? Why don't we skip dinner and you could just go now? And then just vote her off. And we won't tell her this ever happened.
Do I get like a to-go thing? Like I would Tupperware?
If I'm the dad, I just want to drive these guys out of my daughter's life. I don't want her to marry Ben, the guy, the Sonoma wine guy who went on a reality show to find a wife. This is going to be her husband?
Twice went on a reality show to find a wife.
Twice? Yeah, it's the second time.
It's the second time around. I wrote in the GRTFL column, which you should check out sometime.
I read it every week.
I think the dad should flip it. I think the dad should say, like, look, I want to tell you about this girl's history. Like, she's been arrested 4 times. She's been in jail.
The only thing is,
I really want you to consider who she really is.
I read that, but the only problem is you have to do it in a way where you don't lose your daughter in the process, because they're going to watch it on TV.
You're not going to lose your daughter. She's going to be back in 6 months.
6 months, but yeah. it could be like one of those Jenny Gump 6 months. Where she's like standing on a balcony, like having Coke behind her. Could be bad.
That's fair.
It's not a good place for your daughter to end up. No. I don't want my daughter to end up on any reality. Like, all right, top 5 worst reality shows your daughter could be at. Number 1, Teen Mom.
Oh yeah, which I never ever watched on principle until recently. I'd like to talk to you.
Number
about
2,
later.
Bad Girls Club.
That's probably number 1.
Over Teen Mom? Teen Mom, you're having a baby.
Bad Girls Club, you're doing worse than that. I know you don't watch the show. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's bad. It's really bad.
I'd like to hear the listeners weigh in on that one.
Yeah.
Well, they're definitely 1 and 2. They're like the LeBron and Wade of this conversation.
Yep. And yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even
best
know.
Best one for a daughter to be on, I think, Survivor.
No, way wrong.
Why?
All the Project Runway or those Top Chef shows, those people are really talented. There's like legit talented people that can
I don't feel like those are reality shows,
they can use
though.
Those as resume reels.
Those are reality competition shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Survivor is too. We can have this argument some other time.
That is true. I guess there is reality elements to Survivor. You got to live together. You're stuck in a house.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So Bachelor. Courtney the Model, who you've been chronicling week after week, calling her the Bill Belichick of reality, one of the great minds of all time.
She's the greatest strategic mind of our generation.
She really upped it a notch this week. She had basically a fake wedding with vows.
It's not even that.
She kind of cried. I felt like she was – was she crying?
No, I don't think she has the emotional range to actually cry, but she might have faked some sort of crying thing. But like, I just want to explain the scenario. Is they're in her hometown, they're at this beautiful park where she had one of her first photo shoots, because she always has to, you know, remind the audience and Ben that she is a model, and if he were to marry her, he would be marrying a model.
Right.
And they're in this beautiful park, and she says, "Huh, you know, like, funny, I've always imagined myself kind of getting married here." You know, it's very rustic. She used the word rustic a lot.
Rustic is
I'm not sure she knows what
like
it means.
Sounds like a homey word.
Yeah, she's like, I always saw myself getting married here, and huh, what's that over there?
Yeah.
I don't know, a complete wedding setup with about 50 chairs?
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a guy there who may or may not have a marriage. Oh, what's this in my purse? Pen and paper. Why don't we just write ourselves some vows?
Yeah.
And you know what else? And then he's like, whoa, this is weird. You know, do you have any
he
rings?
He liked it, though. He likes everything.
Here, I'll tell you why he liked it.
Because they had sex in the water.
Because they had sex in the water. Yeah. And because she's a model.
He's all in after that.
I have a good story about a friend of ours who we may or may not know. He may or may not appear in this podcast sometimes. And he once met a young lady at a nightclub, a very attractive young lady. And she says, they inevitably get to the conversation like, oh, what do you do? Hmm. And she's like, I'm in the model business.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, I just met a model at a nightclub and she's digging me. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then, so we always remember it as like, oh, he met a model. That's like a big thing for like a guy, like, you know, dating a model or something. And then as they subsequently like conversated and followed up, he found out that she said, I'm in the marble business. Like she sells countertops and such.
Oh, no.
And that completely changes the dynamic of the whole thing. And I feel like Courtney is using this to her advantage on Ben, the whole model thing.
Where does the model thing begin and end? Like, what if you were a hand model? Could you get the model Chiron, or would it have to say hand model?
Hand model, for sure.
What about... So if it's a specific body part, has to be in there?
Yeah. Even plus size has to be in there.
Well, we think they had sex in the water. One of the greatest moments of Bachelor. I was out on The Bachelor, and then I heard about it. It was on my TiVo, and I got sucked back in.
Oh, this season's been good. You can't be on The Bachelor.
My wife was out. She stopped tweeting.
Really?
She quit after
You stopped writing your wife's tweets during The Bachelor?
I type my wife's tweets. tweets.
Okay. Sorry. The joke structure on those is fantastic.
She tells me what to write. I type them.
Yeah, okay.
No, I really do type them, though. Like, because she didn't even want to tweet, and I promised... one of her friends was like, I love watching. So her heart's just not in anymore. She had her second kid. That was it. She's out of comedy at that point.
What about the skinny dip thing brought it back?
Well, the skinny dip brought it back, and not just that, but really opened up a lot of questions about, you know, it's not easy to have sex while you're treading water in water, or so I've heard.
Well, he was firmly planted. I believe they were in
Well, he had his feet under him?
Yeah. It
seemed like they were swimming, though.
No, I think that's impossible. I don't even think fish can do that. That's impossible. That didn't happen. He was planted. I've seen the tape at least 20, 25 times.
Here's my take. I think it was an attempt at sex. And it just, because of the water, it's wet, it's dark out, kind of was in the general vicinity, and they kind of did, but they didn't. And now he's just like, I got to finish that. I got to finish what happened
what
in the water. Got to get that done. I got it. That's all I'm thinking about. So he's on these dates with those other girls. These girls like, yeah, my grandfather, dad was 8. And he's just thinking like, I got to get to that final 3 with Courtney. It's the only reason she's made it this far.
I mean, let me
final 3, that's when they have sex. It's the best episode on television.
It is a good episode.
They get the key and they're like, hey, should we take the sweep of that? Yes, I think we should.
Or not. Yeah. I mean, it's borderline weird. It's like it's something strange. Like, the girls feel a lot of pressure, I feel like, to have a good time in the fantasy suite.
It's a lot. What was that HBO Bunny Ranch show?
Oh, yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's like
the
distant cousin of the Cat House. It's the distant cousin of Cat House. Should we take the fantasy suite with the cameras in the wall?
Chris Harrison should be replaced by Dennis of the Cat House for that one episode. So, would you like the Valentine suite, or would you want to go for our jungle theme?
I love it. I like when the girls' reactions are different. They either have a look on their face like, I don't love sex, but I'm going to do this because this is my best way to get in with Ben. Or you get those girls who are just like, I love sex. I've been waiting for this for a while, and I'm going to let loose.
Yeah,
but you can see the look every time.
It's a watershed moment.
It's a big one.
It's a watershed moment.
But then I was thinking, like, from the Bachelor standpoint, let's say he hooks up with all 3 in, like, span of 9 days. It's a pretty strong 9 days.
Yeah, it's a pretty good 9 days.
It's just 3 really
probably
attractive
hasn't
women.
I haven't run like that since like Cabo in 92.
Would you want to have him first, second, or third if you're the girl?
Okay. Just I want you to repeat that hypothetical question that you just asked me that you want me to consider.
If you're the girl,
would
you want to be the first, second, or third hometown date? Let's say you had a ton of confidence in your sexual prowess.
Okay.
Would you want to be first, knowing that you were going to blow away the next 2, or would you want to be third, leave the lasting impression?
You want to run the anchor leg.
You want to be in the middle,
You want to run the anchor leg.
Middle's bad.
Yeah. I think it's also like gymnastic judging. They don't give out 10s early. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could, if you were first, you could really try to just wear him out.
That'd be one play.
Make it so that he's, you know, he doesn't even want to think about sex for like.
I think the producers,
days.
When they make the schedule, I think they like book that in. I think there's like a day. It's like a pitcher. They give him like a day of rest in between the dates.
Well, they said because of the NBA lockout, they had to condense the schedule this year. Three straight nights.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to go 3 and 3 nights. But it's like the part of the show that just does not get enough. I just want to know more about the dates. Like, what do they do? What is the percentage of people that have sex on those?
And what point,
is it just cuddling?
Here's what I think happens. And again, I have not been in the fantasy suite with The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. I believe what happens is they wear their microphones and they sort of go in the door, they get that shot, and then they get like sort of the inside the...
This is TV producer Dave talking now. Oh, I like TV producer Dave.
And they get the like the oh look, it's some, oh this room is beautiful. I love this place. And they get the like they fill the glasses with the champagne.
Then you hear this.
And then they get the champagne glass click and the kiss. And then I think the producer says, "All right, I'll take your mics. There's no surveillance cameras in here. We'll see you tomorrow morning." That's what I think happens. That's my theory.
Because it's ABC. If this is MTV, they'd have the one. Yeah, they'd have the Jersey Shore camera.
That they always forget about.
Yeah. Whoa, what camera's that
totally
one?
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's what I think happens. So I think that we'll never truly find out what happens in that fantasy suite. And I think they keep it that way on purpose.
Well, it gets more interesting when it's a bachelorette. Then it's a girl three times in 9 days. You know. And then
I don't even know. I don't even
know. One of many reasons why you don't want your daughter as a bachelorette. Although we have Emily, the mom, the widowed mom.
Yeah.
Is going to be the next bachelorette. And that, yeah. Just once you got to have the polarizing Courtney the Model type bachelorette.
Yeah. I think she would make a perfect bachelorette.
Yeah, that's the way to go with that show.
Because I think the bachelorette needs to have a little edge. You know, like you can't just be like a sweetheart girl. You know, like I think you have to be kind of mean. I think you have to be like send some dudes home just for no reason. It's clear the Bachelorette is a distant second as far as the Bachelor and franchise.
Totally. And we know all the tricks now where instead of just having him vote somebody off, they have her be the date that he can vote off at the date.
Kickoff, yeah.
Because that was the personal trainer this year.
Yeah.
Who we were like, how is this girl still on the show?
And why is she saying anything?
And then we both noticed that one girl knew she was going to get the voted off on the date, so she decided to leave for personal reasons. Yeah.
The only reason she was on the show was her grandmother. Yeah, that was a good play by her.
So we were talking about Chris Harrison in The Office, because this is this kind of stuff we talk about in the Grantland offices.
We spend 40% of our time.
And Juliet, who works for us, was pretending not to hear, and while her ears, she's
Juliet's a big
full attention. And then finally she threw in it, but... there's a big disparity of opinion on whether Chris Harrison has a hard job or not.
Wait, who's on the other side of this?
There were people on the other side. On the other side.
He's got the easiest job, if not in television, in the world.
On the other side of it.
I'm telling you, Chris Harrison, if you transcribed what he has said on camera...
It's the same eight sentences, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's you said it before. They should probably just have a robot do his job.
Robot Chris Harrison would
robot
be awesome.
Robot Chris Harrison would become he'd have his own spin-off show.
Here's our host, Chris Harrison, C320O.
It would be great. And not only that, think about his life. He works probably, I don't know, 45, 50 seconds a day. And then the rest of his day is spent basically just being carted around from beautiful country to beautiful country.
Ladies, Ben, this is the final rose this evening. That's what it was like. Just mix it up one time, Chris. Ladies, Ben. Everybody, throw an extra word. Keep me on my toes, Chris
Harrison.
And then
immediately on the heels of that is an interview with Ben. Ben saying, "This has probably been one of the hardest decisions of my life."
I know.
Like, no, it hasn't, Ben.
No, it hasn't. No, you knew you were taking Courtney from the moment you're in that water. She grabbed your Johnson. That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, Courtney. Hey,
what do you think? I think he definitely like Googled Courtney day two.
Oh, you think they can Google the dates?
You can't keep this.
There's
got to
be a no Google. There's got to be a no Google rule, though.
Sure there is, but like you cannot keep anybody away from the internet for 3 weeks.
You came on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I don't remember if we talked about it, so I'm just going to repeat it.
Sure.
My whole thing about, I do think it's a recipe for disaster for two reasons. Like, if you really want to study why they never end up together on this show, the first reason is that their first like 6 or 7 dates are the most 6 or 7 awesome dates you're ever going to have with a person.
Yeah, always involve a helicopter and
like
shark diving.
You went to Thailand with your wife for your honeymoon.
Yeah,
you had an awesome time. Yeah. That wouldn't have even cracked like the top 30 bachelor dates.
It wouldn't have even made the cut. They wouldn't have aired it.
Yeah, they would have been like, so you're just going to go to Thailand and you're going to be at a hotel?
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Is there going to be a helicopter?
No. No cliff diving?
You're not going to swim with sharks?
Yeah, you're not going to.
Is there going to be a 100-foot bungee jump? No. We didn't put that in.
No, they're probably just going to sit around and read some books.
We're just going to hang out, watch movies. Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah. So you go from that high to then now you don't see each other for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then now you're with each other again. And Now it's like, hey, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know, want to get some sushi. Yeah, sure. You go to a restaurant, you get sushi.
Are we gonna spearfish?
No, we're not gonna spear the fish.
No, those days are over.
Oh, I'm just a guy who makes wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in Sonoma. There's three restaurants. We got the same one we went to last week, or
or the new one.
Yeah. So he's screwed there. And then the other thing is, because of the way girls operate, they're watching the show as it's on, just getting mad about like, I thought you said you didn't like Courtney, or I thought you said he didn't like Nikki. Sure seemed like you liked her on the bed. Like, they almost should be like, they shouldn't allow the girls to watch the show.
Well, they can't allow the girls to watch the show. It's just, it's such an unnatural way of courtship. I mean, like, there's so many times they've said, I'm really falling for this guy. I'm really, really falling for this guy. Right?
Yeah.
There's four other women that he's making out with every day. Yeah. In what real-world scenario is that allowed if you're not Mick Jagger?
No. Or rock singer.
Like, yeah. Like, just imagine, like, one of your adult...
Mick Jagger, bad analogy. I would have gotten a lot more contemporary.
Well, I'm 64.
Maybe three different generations ahead.
Sure. Whatever.
Lead singer for Muse, maybe? I don't know. Something in the last 10 years?
My motorcycle jacket?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's basically saying, in what real world scenario, a single adult female friend of yours, she'd be like, I'm really into this guy. Oh, yeah, tell me about him. What's he like? Well, he's tall. He's got a good job. He's a family guy. Oh, yeah, like, is he single? It's like, no, he's actually dating four other women right now, too.
And he's out with one tonight.
And there might be an
overnight suite.
Yeah. And Dennis from Cat House.
It's not going to work. Plus, you have Us Weekly digging up, like, all the bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to dig up everything on these girls. I've done my Google tendrils have reached pretty far. I didn't get too much.
Do you think we need to maybe change what kind of bachelors they pick? Do we need like a horny bachelor?
See, that's the thing about Ben that I have to keep reminding myself is on his season of The Bachelorette, he was the boring guy that didn't say anything.
And that's why he didn't get picked.
I mean, you know, he got pretty far, but I don't really know why he didn't get picked, but it was really like, when I look back at it, I'm like, why did the producers pick this guy? Like, I think you really need someone who's a boat rocker. You know, you need someone who's going to stir it up. And he's just the boring, nice guy. Nice guy finishes last.
There have to be real reasons why they do this. Why they don't want polarizing, lewd people.
Yeah, because maybe people will tune out. I'm sure this
maybe middle America. People like us are, because we're twisted people.
Yeah.
Who have moral issues. Like, we love when there's twisted bachelors, but
yes.
If you're in like Kansas City and you go to church on Sundays and whatever, and you like this show, you're going to gravitate toward Ben.
I think what it is this has a very high female viewership, right?
Yeah.
And I think that they don't want a guy who's going to turn off that viewership. Because I feel like if you had just like a real jerk that was the bachelor, I think a lot of women wouldn't look at it and say, God, I want to be with him. I think they cast it in a way where women watch it and say, I would like to be with that man.
But isn't it clear that every season the guy should just own a winery or a vineyard or something?
It seems like that's the dream
for women.
It also seems like this. It seems like being the bachelor, the goal is to get married, but it seems like the best play is to be the bachelor and then get broken up with and then just kind of like
sow your own vineyard for
10 years.
Yeah.
It seems like you should really use this as an advertisement for your abilities as your single life.
While also having a vineyard.
Yeah.
If my wife ever breaks up with me, I'm taking all of the money that I have left and I'm getting a vineyard.
I'm going the other way on this.
I'm gonna like, say, hey, I have a vineyard.
Vineyard sounds like one of the most boring jobs in the world.
Why do women like it so much?
But you're a farmer.
My wife loves Ben.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you love Ben? It's like, because he makes wine.
Don't you understand? He makes wine. Yeah. I don't understand what he does. I mean,
what is that? Who cares?
You've dedicated your life to creating alcohol.
Yeah.
Right? And that could be, and you spend most of your time like in dirt and soil and like plants and stuff. It just doesn't seem like a very sort of like sexy gig.
It seems like if you had your own vineyard and you were courting a woman and you released this line of wine and you named the bottle after her and you were like, hey, I have a surprise for you. And here's like, you could get that woman to do anything you wanted.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, we're going to elope tonight. She's like, fine. Named a wine after me.
Whatever.
You had a vineyard and you named a bottle
after
me.
Really cool for 6 months. I think the first 6 months of the relationship, like, oh, he makes wine. Come on by. We'll have dinner. We'll crack open some great stuff we have in the basement. Then, like, year two, you're like, get a job, dude.
Why is it cooler than owning a bar?
It's way cooler than owning. I think, you know what it is? I think it's barriers of entry. I think you need to be kind of rich. I've never looked into starting my own sort of, you know.
So it's almost
vineyard.
Like if you own a yacht, that means you have money.
Like, I think it's like a rich guy's hobby, like Francis Ford Coppola. It's like oh yeah, you just started a winery. Why? Because he was super rich and he's sick of making movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if you own like a sports bar, it wouldn't have that same
vibe. No. See, here's the thing: is if you own a winery, you are a well-educated, sophisticated, wealthy man. If you own a sports bar, you are a eternal frat boy.
Plus, you're probably somebody that you're not like. As you said, you're sophisticated. You're somebody who smells wine. You're not going to slam wine. You'll be like, oh, look at this bouquet.
No, this has it tastes like gunmetal.
A little oaky.
Some fruity
oaky,
some fruity
interesting.
Hints.
I like what they did here. I still feel like this is 6 months away. Like, you get sound like a Smyrna.
Very dry soil.
All right, so we both think he's going to take Courtney the model.
There's no question about it.
And the big loss here is that Lindsay, who's going to be the runner-up probably, Lindsay.
With a Z.
Lindsay. I think she's pretty fetching.
Okay.
Even my wife's kind of in on Lindsay.
Okay.
You're not in on Lindsay.
This is a woman who applies makeup with a fire hose. You have
like
no,
a mortician.
You have no idea what her face looks like.
Are we sure?
You have no idea what
you're
her face looks
bad
like.
You're thinking bad skin?
I don't know. She's wearing a mask. The one time you got a little hint of it is when they jumped out of the helicopter into that weird reef lagoon thing.
Yeah.
They did an interview, a post-interview with that, and you got – I think they took off like – a centimeter of the foundation that she puts on her face every day.
Yeah.
And that was the one time where I got a glimpse and I was like, oh, I can kind of see her face now, but you can't. She wears Kardashian level of makeup.
I like it.
Well, I don't know what that
says
about
you. She's got a nice vibe. I'm not a huge makeup guy. I think she's got a nice vibe to her.
Oh,
a lot of confidence.
Bad speech intonation as well.
What do you mean?
She's got this like she's not confident in what she's saying. Everything sort of ends in a question.
Didn't notice that. You've just ruined it for me.
Yeah, it's just I couldn't hang out with someone who's always doing that.
You know, it's funny that the female equivalent of wine is when a girl rides horses. Ben was like, she rides horses. I think it's really great that she rides horses. Like what?
What do you mean about that? I think it's weird.
Rides horses.
I think you always have to be wary of the horse obsessed women.
Oh, see, I go the other way.
You're in a Cara Maria from the challenge. Horse obsessed.
I like it. The J Bug and I, back in our bartending days, we had a whole thing about horses with customers trying to find out if they rode horses.
Okay, I'm not going to ask any follow up questions about that.
That's always there a little
we'll
more.
Just leave that out there.
A little more liberating. Those kind of girls are a little more liberating.
You don't have to explain. You don't have to explain. I want to talk about KCB.
Who? What the fuck just happened?
All right, Casey, I'll tell you what happened. You're boring. Okay?
You're boring. You're 24. You're an administrative assistant.
And here's your big thing. Here's your big selling point, okay? Like Ben's selling point, I've got a vineyard.
Yeah.
Lindsay's selling point, I ride horses. Apparently very effective on Bill and J-Bug at a certain point in their life.
Thank you. And maybe still.
Her big selling point, I twirl batons.
Yeah.
Like that's her thing. Like she's gone back to that well for the third time this week. I'm a baton twirler.
Yeah.
It's like Bill, I heard you're dating somebody new. Tell me about her. What's her interests?
This is going to sound really callous, but let's be honest. It's part of the show. People strategically bring up bad things that have happened over the course of their life at certain points to try to win Ben over.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought she brought up the eating disorder card too early. I would have waited until Final Four. And that's with all due respect to eating disorders.
It's a very serious problem. It's hard to joke about. I feel like there's some emotional manipulation when it comes to hardships in people's past. And that's not to discredit them or discount them.
I am not doing either. Yeah, but we've seen it on this show. Dead brother or sister, dead parent.
Yeah.
Some sort of accident, an eating disorder, divorce. Those are the big cards that it's like they're not sure when to play it, and it always is like one of those that's at the cocktail party or something. Mm. Can I talk to you? I just want you to know, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And they spill their beans and it's a big thing.
A lot of it is I have a hard time opening up to people
because of this.
Yeah, it's always it. It's always some sort of excuse for some behavior as well.
And I feel like KCB should have saved that because she should have known the hometown thing was going to go weird because of her dad who doesn't drink and she's bringing home a guy who owns a winery.
That's, yeah. Yeah, and another part is the
what
mom.
What were the ads that her dad was going to like Ben, the winery guy, who's dating 25 women when he does a drink?
And he's dedicated his life to serving people alcohol.
Who lives across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
dad's like, oh, this sounds great, Casey.
Not only that, 24-year-old. Like, oh, yeah, I've heard about this show. Yeah, this is the one where people get engaged, they immediately move in together. I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so let me just tally this up. I probably spent one-on-one with your daughter 5.5, maybe 6 hours of my life. You want me to get engaged to her, not live with her, and then really just dive in when we get married. That doesn't sound like a recipe for success.
No. No.
It really doesn't.
About halfway through that date, it was a matter of time.
For sure.
Because initially, Nikki's head was in the chopping block because, again, the divorce thing.
Yeah, I thought she was gone.
Yeah. All right. Let's switch shows.
All right, I'm in.
Jersey Shore.
Okay. You don't watch this show. You don't even watch this show.
I stopped watching.
That's fine.
Now, I was watching season 2 of The Jersey Shore.
What? You went throwbacks?
I went throwback Shore. Throwback JS.
What are you doing? Where are you watching
this? On MTV. I just stumbled into an episode, and it was like Single Ronnie, and it was pretty early. Situation was in a freak at, and I was thinking
your
like...
Your weekend television habits are so strange.
I just stumbled into it.
Last weekend, you said you watched Boogie Nights twice in a row.
Well, I did. Well, it was twice in 2 days.
Twice in 2 days. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, the second time I was playing Temple Run.
Okay.
But what was I talking about? You threw me off. Jersey Shore.
Just reviewing Jersey Shores from 3 years ago.
The show was more fun. It was a better show.
It's the
I liked
same
the people
show,
more. Yeah. They were less aware of the camera. Situation wasn't a freak.
Mm.
Dina wasn't involved. I think Dina's ruined the show. Dina's the real reason why I'm out. I'm just grossed out by her. I'm grossed out by Dina.
I'm not grossed out by Dina. It's for me, it's just the novelty's worn off. They just haven't...
They made too many episodes.
The show is... The problem with the show is its own success. They have no reason to change their habits. They have no reason to get better. And they're getting lazy. And the show just is the same thing over and over and over again. And I can't even watch it anymore.
Well, don't you think the answer would have been to get rid of at least a couple...
Sammy and Ronnie is what you're saying. Get rid of everybody. Just give me a new Jersey Shore. Give me 7 new people. If you're telling me...
We said this a year ago,
by
the way.
Yeah, if Bunim Murray doesn't say, or whoever's doing it, it's not Bunim Murray, you know, whatever productions says, all right, we're looking for a new Jersey Shore, I mean, they're going to have... It's going to look like American Idol.
Sally Ann Salsano?
Yeah, Sally Ann Salsano. If she comes...
Terrible. Sally Ann Salsano.
Yeah. If she said we're looking for the new 7 Jersey Shore, it'd be a great show. It'd be a great show.
I think the weirdest thing that's happened with the show is Situation has gone from somebody that, you know, is just over the moon about having in my television life to being somebody that I actively dislike and one of the reasons I stopped watching the show.
Why do you root against the Situation?
I think he's – I just don't think he's – it's wrestling at this point. It's just a fake personality and a fake character.
I find myself rooting for him for some
and
reason.
When he showed his abs and he didn't have the abs anymore, that was it. That was the signature move.
That's been tough. He hasn't really had the abs since like season 1.
He lost the magic.
He really
That was kind of his calling card. Blake Griffin's like, I'm not going to dunk anymore. I'm just going to shoot 20-footers.
There was a woman on the show last week, Paula, Situations, like sort of thing. And she...
Beard?
She wears nothing. She's in the club, dancing around seductively, licking Situation's now lack of six-pack, and just like, is you know, she's not...
His one-pack.
Yeah, she's not something that you would bring home to mom, we'll say. And I was looking at her, and I was saying, wow, she's probably too good for the Situation.
Mm.
Like, I feel bad for her if she has to settle on the Situation. It's a tough look.
Well, let's just move on. Is the show over? This is it, or they'll bring it back again?
There's no reason not to bring it back, just from a purely financial standpoint.
Because it's getting like 8 million viewers
still?
Yeah,
there's just no reason not to. They're just going to ride it into the ground until it's dead.
I want to like Jersey Shore. I don't want to be the person who's like, oh, no, I used to like that show, but now it sucks. Like, I really just don't like watching it. Like, I feel as I'm watching it, I'm bored. I start doing other things. Like, it can't keep my attention.
It's burned me out somehow. Lazy producers. Like, you're trying to tell me they can't go on a vacation somewhere? You're trying to tell me there's only 2 nightclubs? They go to 2 different nightclubs. That's it. I think karma and
same issue the Hills had. Just embrace the fame. Stop pretending you guys have to work in a t-shirt shop. Exactly. You're all freaking famous. And like, what reality are we living in that you're working in a t-shirt shop?
Yeah, exactly.
What reality is this?
We're late for work. We're in trouble.
You make $5 million a year. What are you talking about?
And you know, behind a camera, there's 500 people just gawking. And you know, there's at least 7 security guards just surrounding them, making sure that they don't get approached.
LeBron could walk into the Jersey Shore and not be as famous as freaking Dina.
Yeah. So. I honestly think if you print out a picture of LeBron James, you print out a picture of Snooki, and you traveled the globe and you asked 500 fully random citizens of Earth who's who, I think Snooki gets as many, if not more, recognition than LeBron James.
I can't wait till the 20 years from now People magazine spread to see how fat she's going to be. I think she's actually going to be a full circle.
I think she's going to be more oval. More wide than high.
Oval, okay.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Let's move on, because we got to talk about the challenge. I'm really upset.
What's the problem,
about
buddy?
This season.
What's the problem?
Really upset.
What's the problem, Billy?
A little birdie told us that they've toned things down this year in the challenge. They don't have nudity, no blurkles anymore. They don't show set. They don't show a lot of the debauchery that's become a signature part of the show. Because they have the 12 to 17 audience that they're worried about on MTV, the Teen Mom audience. And for the person who made that decision, I'd like to extend my middle finger toward you.
Yeah, for sure.
And how is Jersey Shore not fall into that? Jersey Shore's on. It was on at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And also, this show's disgusting.
If you're making shows for the 12 to 17 audience, you know what shouldn't be on that list? Teen Mom.
Right.
That's probably the last show you want to show to that audience.
Teen Mom.
Yeah, I hate
MTV. I'm really mad at MTV.
You love MTV.
No, I'm really mad at MTV. That not breaking into the Whitney coverage when Whitney died was unbelievable.
What channel are you at that point? It's no longer the MTV that we
apparently.
It's not even close. Kurt Loder should have been there.
What are they then?
Where's Gideon Yago?
What is the channel? What is their mission statement? What is MTV? Is it Spike? What is it?
No, it's reality show network. Basically what it is.
So then just merge with VH1 and make one big powerhouse of reality shows.
And I Want My Pants Back or whatever that show is that they're constantly promoting.
I tried too.
I like the girl.
I gave it 8 minutes.
I like the girl on that show.
Very witty, snappy dialogue. A little too snappy.
I like the girl. I think the girl's got a good character. She's good. But here's the thing I want to... I want to talk about the challenge a little bit.
It's too serious. It's like... I don't need to see 30 minutes of the actual challenge.
I don't care anything about the actual challenge unless they're spelling stuff.
Right.
The producers, I feel like, would sit around a table and be like, how can we really just humiliate and embarrass these people this time?
And also people willing to be humiliated and embarrassed, which is a key part of this.
Yeah.
And it was all in good fun.
People
that wanted to be embarrassed.
It was all in good fun. And now they're like, all right, like, how do we kick this up a notch physically?
Yeah.
And it's not doing it for me. And the challenges themselves, they really did a good job with the trivia spelling challenge.
That was excellent.
That was an excellent episode, and I really enjoyed it.
And it ended up with them getting shot, right? Like shot off
a
mountain.
Yeah, they got catapulted off of a cliff.
Spell thing wrong, go flying.
Into like a scary looking lagoon.
And you had to do a flip, basically, or else you broke your neck.
Anissa's face exploded. It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I like that one too.
You got a question for you.
Well, hold on, though. I think they made him... If you're going to do this where somebody screws up and the couples get voted off or somebody gets hurt, and very bad planning. You got to have like the 3 extra couples. And it's just they should be in the house, but just not performing the challenges.
Like a bench player.
But they should be in the house, like just getting drunk every night, trying to get people drunk, trying to start fights.
The thing is, they don't want that anymore. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with getting these people drunk and making television out of it. That used to be the formula.
Well, See, when we're running a television network someday, the move is to start the rival league, and you try to lure them over and offer them a little more money. Be like,
oh yeah,
MTV's holding you guys back. You guys got to come over to us.
Same,
we're gonna be
Jim with 2 Ends. You're a starter, Jim with 2 Ends.
What do they pay you?
A bench player.
What do they pay
you
to go on the show? $5,000 in expenses? Oh, we'll up it to $50,000.
Yeah, for sure.
You're in. You get to drink as much as you want.
You just get beer and wine in your house?
Yeah,
we've got crystal meth and heroin. Come over to our network.
All you need to get is you need to get the Big Five. You need to get Bananas. You need to get Kenny and Jen, two N's.
You need Conflict. I think you need Wes.
You need Paula.
You need Wes.
You need like we want to build our new league around you five, and everyone else will come because you're it.
I think that'll be good.
Spike TV, where are you?
Yeah,
are they owned by
Spike?
MTV?
No.
They're not owned by Viacom?
I don't know this for a fact. I don't believe so.
I think Spike's owned by Viacom.
Yeah, maybe.
There's got to be some challenger that can challenge MTV. Because right now, they're saying, come take our territory. They're not protecting their corner. You protect your corner on reality. You protect your reality corner on reality.
I try.
You don't like when anybody rants reality.
No.
MTV's not protecting their corner.
They're not protecting their corner. And I think they make them sign pretty ironclad agreements. If that one that leaked about the Real World, like they've got, like if you go on the Real World, let's say I go on the Real World right now, and then 40 years down the road, I invent the cure for cancer, and someone wants to like make a movie about my inventing the cure for cancer. Yeah. MTV somehow owns my life rights because I went on the Real World. Like they signed these crazy contracts.
We got to get The Miz in here to talk about this at some point. The Miz was on the show when it was like the challenges were, you know, you have to lick off as much hot fudge off your partner,
off your partner
as you possibly
possible.
Can
yeah,
in
I mean,
2 minutes.
They were like really bad, like porn plots. Is kind of how
yeah.
they started. It was really good. It was stupid. Remember that you were going down one of your YouTube holes and you found CT and somebody have to eat a bunch of ice cream.
I was at a YouTube bender.
Yeah, you found a YouTube bender to a very dark place where they were sitting around basically on like a merry-go-round type of thing, and they had to eat a bunch of ice cream and then sit on the merry-go-round and not throw up.
Yeah. Like those are the days.
Yeah, and now what they do is they jump over a little thing and then they duck under a little thing. They jump over and they duck under for 20, 40 minutes. And they've done that twice so far this season.
Yeah, it's like really physically debilitating some of the challenges.
It's just stupid. And they can't drink because they're all serious about their challenge.
The steroids that we think that might be happening.
There's allegedly some...
There might be some performance enhancers.
They might need to get the government involved.
One fantastic candidate this year.
Who it is. Allegedly who?
Just somebody on the show is very cut.
Okay.
Very cut. You do a nice before after.
I don't think you should be talking about Robin that way. But that's fair. I'm ready to switch gears.
I didn't love the... I like the X's idea. But the execution of it hasn't been that good.
I think they've tried to bake in conflict with this X's thing and cutthroat. Like, oh, rivals. Like, you're going to be with your best rival or you're going to be with your ex.
Yeah.
But
stolen from us, by the way, from this podcast.
Fair.
Yeah.
I think that what it really does is it solves tense relationships more than it makes good television.
Yeah, it almost seems like you're better off like with your buddy.
Exactly. And then you've got your enemy
buddies,
is already
best
baked
buddies.
In. Yeah, it's instead of like you're forced to get along with your best enemy, you're probably going to figure it out. But it's like you and your best friend against like your enemies. You really need like and the every man for themselves thing is good because they form alliances. Alliances are always a big thing in these shows.
The other one I was thinking was sexual tension season.
Okay.
Because they have the exes. This one would just be sexual tension. It's somebody you had sexual tension with.
Somebody you had sexual tension
but
with.
But you never consummated it. You'd be like, all right, Tyree, you had sexual tension with Jen with two N's. Never made out with her, right? All right, you guys are together.
There you go.
That would be bad.
That'd be pretty bad.
Yeah. Worse than exes?
That'd be pretty bad. That'd be worse than exes, for sure. Yeah. I'll go with you on that one.
Maybe two exes. Sexual tension. What were you going to say?
I want to talk about Survivor.
All right. On my DVR, not on my DVR, did not DVR, went to On Demand it and the sound was all weird. So I blame Time Warner for the fact that I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that the people of New York City will join you in hating Time Warner.
No sympathy.
We took this show out of the Fantasy League.
Yeah, and we should have.
And it's under the principle of you are only as good as your last start.
Yep.
You
wrote this. You moved it down to Fantasy Development League.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's
I
in
agree
the Fantasy
with that
Development
decision.
League. It was a bad show last year, and what they've your big format idea for this show was what, Bill?
Hotties versus studs.
I think it was stud versus babes.
Hotties, studs versus hotties. Studs versus babes.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. And they've kind of gone that route a little bit.
I have some inside info.
Inside info.
Yeah, it's a little name droppy.
name drop? I don't know if I want this.
It's really important, though.
Okay, fine, go.
I ran into Jeff Probst this weekend.
Okay. We've been hanging out for like 5 hours now, yeah. And you didn't bring this up.
I saved it.
You didn't bring this up. You ran into Jeff Probst. Was he wearing a blue shirt? Like a very functional blue shirt?
Jeff Probst is exactly what you want him to be.
Okay.
He's got a nice demeanor to him.
Does
he's just
have a
happy.
Survivor hat on?
Big smile. He's got a great looking girlfriend. He's just happy. He's just a happy guy.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Like a host. He's hosty. But not like in a way that feels disingenuous or fake.
Okay.
He's just happy.
The happy, friendly guy.
So Sal and I accosted him.
Okay.
And we asked him, we were talking about the season, and I asked him about studs versus hotties. And he said, you actually can't do that idea because the people have to have a certain IQ to make the show worthwhile. And he said the biggest problem with last season was that they didn't have enough savvy, smart people. And there were points in the game when they should have flipped
moves.
The game
yeah.
and flipped the numbers, but nobody was really smart enough
How
to see it.
How did Coach make it that far?
Right. So he was saying you have to have a mix between people that are really savvy, sneaky, and then people that are just like – good looking and easily manipulated.
What else did Mr. Probst say?
I thought
say?
That was really interesting.
It is interesting.
So they are constantly trying to find the right balance, and that's why we only have a couple of good looking people on every cast.
It's a difficult quandary to have. If I was working on casting on that show, and someone was like, you know, I went to my staff, and I'm like, all right, we just got hired by Survivor to cast the show. They'd be like, great. What kind of people are they looking for? I'd be like, all right, they're looking for people that want to go on television. They don't get paid. They starve themselves. They can't shower or eat. Oh, by the way, they also have to be really smart and savvy. That's a tough get.
Yeah.
That's a tough get.
So the other thing he said was the reason they have three people instead of two was because –
What do you mean three people?
And the final
in
three.
The
yeah. Because okay. we were like, why not just have two? And he said it actually makes it easier to – It's if there's only two, sometimes the right person won't win. There's three bounces.
The right
out.
Person never wins that show.
I didn't totally understand.
And who's
it.
The right person?
I don't know. Whoever played the game the best.
Whatever playing the game.
Playing
the
game.
The game. I played the game with honor.
It's a game now.
Yeah. What was he wearing? I want to hear more about Jeff Probst.
I don't really remember. I don't remember what anyone's wearing.
What was he drinking?
I don't remember that either.
Okay. How long did you talk to him?
20 minutes.
20 minutes with Jeff Probst?
Well, Sal was there too, so he had a lot of questions.
What else did you get out of him?
I didn't want to talk out of school. I was passing on this information.
Okay, never bring me to a party where Jeff Probst is. Don't do that. Don't do that.
If Jeff Probst is on one side and TJ Lavin's on the other side, who do you go after?
TJ all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You wrote about this in your column. TJ went overboard with You Killed It.
Yeah, I don't even understand what he's doing anymore.
I think he's trying to ruin our league.
I think he has his own team. I think he put a lot of money on his own team in the league, and he's cooking the books.
He's killing it.
He's killing it. TJ, you killed it.
He's been really good this year, though.
Yes. Yeah. It's great to see TJ back.
Oh, what was your Survivor thing?
We talked about studs versus hotties.
I have
problems with what happened on Survivor.
Right.
So they've split it up into – it's like a battle of the sexes thing. So there's females and there's males. And the big gimmick twist is that they live on the same beach, right? Now, there are two different camps, women in one camp, men in the other camp. Mm. One of the most important things to having a camp and being in the wilderness, and I don't know if this is really true, but at least it's true on Survivor, is getting fire, right?
Yep.
The men build fire. The women then – one of the first problems I have with this what happened is the female camp. There's nine of them, I believe.
Okay.
They know they're going on Survivor. They've seen the show before, and they can't make fire.
Yeah, that's –
like, if you know you're flying to wherever in the world in 2 months and you're going to go on Survivor, do you not spend those 60 days just preparing for every single type of scenario you could possibly run into in the wild?
It also seems like you should change your diet about 6 weeks before so that when you go there, you're not... Yeah, you got to wean yourself off soda and caffeine and all that stuff.
I would know every single edible and poisonous berry by heart.
Yeah.
I would know their Latin names.
The fire thing would be the first thing you should figure out, though.
Yes, how to make fire. And then so the women, they didn't even show footage of them attempting to build a fire. They just didn't have fire.
Do you think it's weird when they're so cold that they basically cuddle, like they sleep like sardines, basically? Like five of them are all cuddled together?
I don't think that's weird at all.
Would you do that?
For sure. I'd have trouble, though. I'd be farting on some stranger. I feel really bad. I would just apologize a lot.
It's pretty weird. I'm an only child, so that kind of thing's like weird to me.
Yeah, it's not. I don't find it that weird. I think you get cold enough, you start snuggling.
They're like, hey, Glenn, could you get your hand off me?
And then they have fire, and then they go to the male camp and ask for fire, and the men will not give them fire.
Which oh.
It became this whole like struggle around the fire thing, where it's like it looked like some sort of like playground game, and the men wouldn't give them fire, which I found really wrong.
Isn't the move just to wait till they fall asleep and then steal the fire?
Well, that's exactly what they did.
Oh.
So they wait till they fall asleep. They walk over with this like semi-flammable stick and get it kind of lit and then try to run away. It was poorly executed. It was poorly executed. Well designed, poorly executed.
So are the challenges they're against each other, the men and the women?
Yes.
That's always a recipe for. We've never seen that work successfully.
Yeah, that's the first thing that my wife said. She was like, "Well, this isn't really fair."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, they'll do puzzles and stuff." And
it's not fair.
No, they won't.
It's not fair.
They won't do puzzles and stuff.
It's the same reason why the NBA doesn't play the WNBA in an All-Star game every year.
No, I wouldn't enjoy watching that.
Right.
Maybe I'd enjoy it a little bit. It turned weird though.
How many survivors has there been now?
24, 25.
It's crazy. I remember the first one.
Yeah.
I think it peaked or it came, the ending was like right around the same week the Pacers played the Lakers in the 2000 NBA Finals. I remember like being really excited about having all this TV on.
Both of them at
yeah.
once.
Lakers, Pacers, and the Richard Hatch finale. We're all like, we're kind of in the relative ballpark of each other.
How much money do you think Mark Burnett's made off Survivor? Or his company?
24 episodes? 24 or 24 seasons?
Something like that. 24, 25. Somewhere in the 20s.
The only thing is they don't sell DVDs.
Huh.
Who buys Survivor DVDs? Nobody.
I have no interest in watching. Unlike you, I have no interest in watching old seasons of reality television shows.
That's not fair. That's not
okay,
fair.
Okay.
I just watched The Little Jersey Shore because I was like, why did I like this show more than the other show?
What else
do you have written down there?
I found some new shows I'd like to talk about.
Okay. Let's do that quickly because we're running out of time.
Good. The Vanilla Ice Project.
What channel's that on?
It's in one of those like channels. It's got like four digits, like 1,052 or something. It's Vanilla Ice redoing his backyard, and it's awesome.
Okay,
I'm completely in on Vanilla Ice.
Sounds good. So you don't even know what channel it's on?
No, it's like a home improvement channel. Some one of those like do it yourself DIY channel. Boom, DIY channel, do it yourself channel. So he's like trying to lay down tile. He's talking about the tile pattern that he lays it down with, and he's building stuff. I fully recommend this show.
I was with my friend Daniel and his wife, and we were on Sunset Boulevard, and there's some billboard for Dance Moms on Lifetime or Dance Wives or
Dance Moms.
Dance Moms?
Yeah.
She said that this show is unbelievable.
It's I can't watch it on principle, a bit like Teen Mom. It's a little weird.
It's like Toddlers and Tiaras.
It's exactly.
I don't
like
that whole world
dancing,
either.
It's dancing toddlers and tiaras.
See, I'm surprised. I thought you would like that. I think if you're a parent, that's when it really turns your stomach.
It doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
Just something about kids should be. I think just like being, going into the army, you shouldn't be able to be on reality TV until you're 18.
It's not fair, and yeah. I feel bad for Kourtney Kardashian's son. What's that guy's name?
Mason.
I feel bad for Mason.
I really like that little kid. It's an adorable little kid.
Mason was clearly getting paid to be in the show this year.
Oh, yeah. I heard
they didn't
show
him last year.
No, I heard something like they actually held out to get him a salary.
Yeah.
And that's why he wasn't on last year.
Yeah.
Another thing really quickly. I know you don't watch the show, and you really should.
Mob Wives. They're too scary looking.
They are not.
They're too scary.
They are awesome.
The older lady is too frightening.
The Mob Wives.
I'm scared of her.
I wouldn't say anything negative about these people because you will probably die.
Okay.
And I just want to say that if you... You have not seen Mob Wives. There's a young woman on that show named Big Ange, who is my favorite reality show character of the past 2 months.
Big Ange?
Big Ange.
You got to be big if you're going to pull off the name
like,
Big Ange.
Hey, hey, it's me, Big Ange, and I'm over here at the Drunken Monkey just serving up my cocktails.
Ugh.
Why do you guys want a problem? I don't understand all of this. I'm Big Ange.
You got to see it.
What else?
You got to see it. I want to talk briefly about the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Of BH.
Yes, the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
It's over.
They had the reunion.
I saw they had this. I guess it's their equivalent of the S They Shouldn't Have Shown show.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a deleted scenes type show.
Yep.
And they had footage of Maurizio playing tennis with Ken, my favorite character.
Ken, impressive tennis player.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Hey, bravo. Put that footage on YouTube.
For real.
I want the whole match.
I will watch that. If someone was like, all right, we've got Federer and Djokovic on Channel 4, and we've got Ken and Mauricio on Channel 5. There's no way I'm watching Channel
Mauricio
4.
Mauricio's going all out in his sport, and it's like,
Did you not watch that and say, Ken, can play some tennis?
Ken is like, he's got that wig on. He's holding a dog as he's playing.
He's like kind of buff, too.
He was good.
I was like, Ken's been working out.
I love Ken. Ken,
I'm in on
he's
Ken.
He's been my favorite for a while.
I'm in on Ken.
I like the fact that Brandy, is that Eddie Cibrian's dumped wife? Try to make a run at Ken like two or three times. Like
for
Ken's
sure.
Like, women find Ken sexy.
Yeah.
He's holding a small dog.
I find Ken sexy.
And that's an English accent.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I don't even know what sex Ken is.
Ken? Superhuman from the future. You know how from the future there'll be no more ethnicities? There'll be no sexes either. They'll just be Kens. We'll all be Kens in the future. It's going to be awesome.
Spin off those two. Do it right
Ken
now.
Ken and Lisa Vanderpump.
And have Cedric kind of looming.
Yeah.
Cedric.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
That was the worst part of the season when Cedric crashed her party. And it was clearly a plant by the producers. And
yeah,
just,
it
seemed very phony. And
it always is.
Now, the other Ken, what's her face? The drunk lady's boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Sketchy
yes, Kim's,
Ken.
Kim's boyfriend, Ken.
Kim's.
Yeah.
It's just skeevy.
There's,
it's just great. It's so scary.
I have the opposite reaction to that Ken,
you like Ken
that I have to the other Ken.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, terrible oh, yeah. Ken. Like Ken with the dog. I'm like, oh, that guy's awesome. I want to hang out with him. I bet he was like a rock star back in the 80s. And then this new Ken, you're just like, oh, God.
Oh, no, Kim.
Like who hires that man?
And the sister is like, yeah, I don't really like her boyfriend. You're like, all right, you're being a jerk. And then you meet him. You're like, oh
God.
You got three body in front of that.
Yeah.
What's her name? Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle
the
Kyle
sister
and Kim
from
Richards.
Halloween. I'm in on her. She fought Michael Myers off.
Yeah.
She was in Halloween, first one.
That means a lot to you.
She's one of the two kids being babysat by Jamie Lee Curtis.
means a lot to you.
Jamie Lee Curtis sent her to go get the police.
Yeah,
Kyle Richards.
I think that event started her on this spiral, which now led to her being in a relationship with Ken, which may or may not have led to her to a stint in rehab.
Can't we ask Bravo to give us the raw footage of the Ken Mauricio match, and we could have like announcers announce it. And it seemed like Mauricio trounced him.
I'd like to announce both McEnroes involved as well.
How can I play tennis against Mauricio and Ken?
There's a very small section of the population that would be into this, but that section would be very much into this. I think we should restage that event like the Billie Jean.
I have an open challenge. Yeah. I will find a doubles partner. I challenge Mauricio and Ken to a doubles match.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
And we'll videotape it, and we'll give the proceeds to charity. There won't be any proceeds, but whatever they are, we'll give them to charity.
Ken Mauricio, it would be probably the biggest tennis match since the Agassi Federer.
Singles or doubles? When they play singles, Mauricio should let Ken use the doubles alley. Is the fair thing to move because Ken is like 75.
Ken is sneaky mobile. Ken is chasing down balls.
I love Ken.
Yeah, he is.
I liked his attitude during the wedding too. He got upset that his dog couldn't be involved. What does Ken do all day?
He dresses his dog up in different uniforms.
But does he have a job, though? He has a lot of money. That wedding was like $1 million.
Yeah, what's the source of his money? He owns. Seems like he owns restaurants and stuff, but that's just like a passion play. Like, I don't know. When I look at him, if someone said to me, like, oh, yeah, you know that guy Ken on Real Housewives? He's actually Billy Idol. I'd be like, yeah, I can see that.
What job do you want Ken to have?
I think he was a record producer.
I want him to be a record producer, too.
I think he's a record producer. That's what I see him as.
Would be a runner-up choice.
Yeah.
I think, how about former network executive?
No.
Like in England.
They wouldn't
like
go
he
on
launched a bunch
shows.
Of channels in England.
No.
You don't like that idea?
Mm-mm. I think he's a
how about concert cool. promoter?
Yeah, someone to do with music. I feel like those British guys are like music savvy and.
What if he just owned a production company that produced stuff?
That's just, yeah, you know, and that's pretty much everybody.
Ken Vanderpump
Productions. Everybody in Los Angeles owns a production company that produces stuff, though, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Ken, can we track him down and do some business with him or something? Can we get a lunch? Can you get a lunch with Ken?
Listen, I want to play tennis with him and Maurizio.
Let's go make that happen.
Maurizio was like, was he like a former Olympic athlete? What was his deal?
I don't know.
He was throwing himself into his forehands.
Yeah.
So could you leave Ken alone? Ken's 80.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you don't have to grunt in the forehands, Maurizio. But also, it seems like I just get a feeling like Maurizio, the woman liked Maurizio.
Oh, for sure.
Like Kyle might be in trouble every time he's like, yeah, I got a business trip. Deep in the back of her head, she's like, I don't know if I like my husband being out there.
My now famous husband.
My now famous.
He's like famous for being
handsome
great
husband.
To me. Handsome husband, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I'm glad.
She should be careful.
I'm glad I'm not married to Maurizio.
This is her biggest challenge since she fought off Michael Myers, hid in the closet from him. All right, Czar. So you have we should mention that you have a podcast with Jalen Rose.
Yep.
On the Grantland Network,
yep.
Which anybody can subscribe to, and
yep.
I urge you to. We have a bunch of good stuff on there. And we're going to Orlando this week.
Look forward to it, buddy.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Target to set off.
Whoa!
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.